Are you working on your author career but struggling to get that first book published? Does the goal of being an author seem too lofty? Or are thoughts of having multiple books and making a full-time living are as fantastical as living in Cinderella's castle? Welcome to Discovered Wordsmiths, a podcast where aspiring authors can be heard. Join Stephen Schneider as he finds and talks to authors you may not know, but authors that have gotten their foot on the author career path. Hear what they've done to get there and where they want to go now. Settle back. It's time for a bit of inspiration and advice. Come listen to today's Discovered Wordsmith.
Hello and welcome to a great new episode of Discovered Wordsmiths. Today I've got Becca Wicks. She is a mother with two teenage sons. She also likes to play guitar and is creative with music along with her writing. And recently she's worked on a series called The Chronicles of Chaos, and her first book, The Heathen King, just recently came out. So sit back, listen, find this new author to discover in the fantasy genre. And if you like the podcast, it would be great if you could go leave a review. It would help other authors and other readers discover these authors. And if you think Becca's book sounds great, go check her out. She'd love to see some clicks and some people with her book. So please enjoy. All right. Well, Becca, welcome. Thank you. I appreciate you taking some time to talk with me today on the podcast. I hope you're having a great day so far. It looks like a good weekend coming up.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
So tell us a little bit about yourself outside of writing, what you like to do, a little bit about who you are.
Awesome. Okay. Well, I'm believe it or not, besides writing, I work full time. I'm a truck driver. So, I mean, not anything crazy. I don't drive like this monster big rig or anything, but I actually drive kind of like a enlarged version of a tow truck. So I just transport vehicles all over the state of Oklahoma. Wow. It's actually really fun. People always look at me crazy. Other than that, I am a mom. I've got two teenage boys, which is extremely as scary as it sounds. I'm married. I have pets that I take care of. Other than all the domestic type things, I love music. It was something that I always did when I was younger. I played guitar. I played drums. I sang. It's not something that I do a whole lot anymore, just, you know, time constraints and whatnot. I would love to start playing again, but.
And that's funny because I was going to ask that because I've been finding a lot of authors also play some sort of musical instrument. It seems the creativity needs to come out in multiple ways.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, like I said, I have guitar that it basically hangs on my wall in my living room and it looks more like a decoration piece than it does anything, which is really sad because I got it a couple years ago and I played it a lot at first and then I just got busy with life and work and everything else. And my husband asked me not too long ago, he was just like, why do you still have that if you're never going to play it? And it's like, maybe one day.
Yeah. It's very difficult to get rid of instruments. I play bass and I pulled out my 5-string and I kept getting all messed up because I wasn't used to the 5-strings. Heck, I wasn't used to 4-strings anymore, let alone 5.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. I can't even imagine. Well, when I was younger, I played bass. So now it's my electric guitar that I have. I was like, I've got to relearn everything all over again. So yeah. At first I was like downloading apps and stuff like that to kind of just relearn where all the notes were and all the positions were. And then it just kind of went out the window and I'm like, one day, maybe, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Right. But you just can't get rid of it. Yeah. I feel the same way.
Oh, I can never get rid of instruments. I mean, my parents still have my band instruments from when I was in high school. That was I graduated in 2000, if that tells you how old I am.
Well, my 4-string bass is the bass I bought my senior year of high school, and that was 89.
Oh, so, wow.
There you go.
That's pretty cool, though, that you still have it. And that yeah. It works well.
Yes, yes. And it's amazing how well it stays in tune, even through the years.
So, okay, so you're a truck driver and you've got a family and all that. Why did you decide you wanted to do some writing?
I started writing when I was 14, 15 years old. In high school, I was kind of this angsty, depressed teenager ordeal, like most are. And I started writing poetry a lot. And actually, I was songwriting and music writing a lot in high school as well. But I've always had this like crazy active imagination. And it wasn't until probably my mid-20s that I had this really wicked, crazy dream one night. And I woke up and I was like, that would be the coolest horror novel ever. And so that's kind of where book writing started, even though, the novel is self-published, but it's quite terrible because I didn't know what I was doing. But now I'm just the type of person that I can always sit down and watch like a movie or a TV show, and then my brain just starts trailing off into its own little imaginary world of how I could write something like that. Pretty crazy.
Okay, so like a lot of authors, you have again this creativity you needed to get out. The book of yours that I found was The Heathen King. Tell us a little bit about that, what it's about, and what made you want to write it.
The Heathen King, it is actually book one in a trilogy that's going it's called The Chronicles of Chaos. And this book is basically about it's a fantasy fiction set in kind of like a medieval era. It's not necessarily based in a real world type of location, but it's about a prince named Sebastian, and he learns in the story that he is what do we call it? Descended from ancient gods. So he is the demigod Chaos, which in the story is the god of fire and destruction. He's very angsty, a little sinister, has terrible self-esteem. He's a loner. He's got 12 siblings. It's just this crazy wild adventure. The biggest twist, I think, in this medieval story is that this is Sebastian's gay. So that's not something that you see in a lot of stories set in that time frame. And so that causes a lot of a big rift, I guess, like in his family, in his lover's family. And so Sebastian's father gets really, really ill. And he passes on the crown of the throne to Sebastian rather than Sebastian's older brother. Then older brother goes crazy. He gets just mad with hatred, jealousy, tries to kill like his whole family. Then Sebastian has to, he basically gets outcasted by his brother, and he has to go and learn about his powers and about, how to stop being kind of just selfish and stuck in his own head, and how to come back and save his family, save his kingdom. The story kind of was developed. I watched Game of Thrones for the first time about 2 years ago. I watched the entire, how many seasons are there? Eight, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
And I really fell in love with the story after about like season two. And so the story kind of like branched off from that, minus the dragons. And so I know I was actually asking advice the other day from my 16-year-old on some of like the magic parts that I can put into my story, because he does have these powers. And we were talking, I was like, I want this idea, this idea, this idea, minus dragons. And he was like, so you mean to tell me there's no dragons? And I'm like, yes, there's no dragons. But yeah, it was kind of just like, I always loved Lord of the Rings. I always loved Harry Potter, and I fell in love with Game of Thrones, and I've always loved like the old movies like Robin Hood and King Arthur and all that. And that was just something I always wanted to write a story about. I just never knew exactly how to make it a little different than everything else that's on the market. And so that's kind of where this started out in book one. I finished it just a couple of months ago, actually. So I'm now working on book two.
Okay. I was going to ask that. Do you have plans for a book two and then maybe a book three, or what's your plans for the whole series?
I plan to make three total. Book two, I am about probably a quarter of the way into the writing. Book two starts out where book one left off, and it's kind of this entire different storyline. It's not based in the same country. It's not this, I mean, the main character is the same. There's a few of the characters from story one in there, but there's a lot of brand new characters. There's a lot of character development. So it's a lot, it's going to be a lot darker, a lot more, I guess, chaotic. So
still no dragons.
Do what?
Still no dragons.
No, you know, I don't think dragons are going to come out in this story, unfortunately. And I love dragons, but I just thought I would stay away from it.
Got it. And I must say, I really love the cover because it's very attractive. It has some almost Japanese anime tone to it, maybe some of the old Japanese paintings to it. So it's a very intriguing cover. You've got the flowing of his sash around his waist or whatever coming, and I just thought the cover looked really intriguing. Is that your main character then on the cover?
Yes. Yeah, no, I actually have changed the cover probably 5 times. And I was just trying to find like that kind of a similarity to that would reflect kind of his appearance. He's just kind of, you know, dark. He's got, you know, black hair. Part of his power is that he can produce fire. So, you know, the fire coming from his hands was important. The red eyes were important. But I never intended on it to be like, you know, kind of anime looking, but whenever it came together, I was just like, holy crap, that's it.
Yeah, it's nice.
I really fell in love with it. So I was like, I'm never touching it again, because if I do, it's going to change again and I'm not going to be happy with it. And it's funny because like asking advice, you know, from my 16-year-old about magic and the ways to portray magic in battle, he referred me to anime. So we sat down and watched a ton of anime the other day. So he was like, here's the best way to get ideas on how to use like fire and lightning powers and stuff. So I was like, oh, well, I guess this is starting to actually come together a little bit more than I originally expected it.
Right. So what did you watch with him?
We watched some Seven Deadly Sins. Oh, Lord, what? I'm trying to think of what the other ones were. I think Naruto, and I can't think of the other one, but yeah, no, it was interesting. And, you know, it's a little different watching anime than trying to like write a medieval book, but just kind of the techniques that they use and how they, you know, conjure it kind of really helped out. Because after the end of every episode, he's like, do you have ideas yet? For me, watching anime with them, like, it's all in Japanese, so I was kind of laughing the whole time, so.
Right, yeah, all my kids are into anime and various shows, and I keep hearing different shows tossed around, but they watch things totally different than we do. You know, I used to watch Saturday morning cartoons, watch an episode a week type thing, but they're like, oh, look, all 7 seasons, I'm going to watch it this weekend. And that's like, they consume it completely different. And they treat them differently. They get, you know, oh, look, here's the 500th anime that I really, really love. And there's so many of them out there. So it's hard for me to keep up. But I do have a few I like watching. My wife watches a couple also with the kids. So other than this series, what are some other future writing plans? Or have you thought that far ahead?
I've kind of thought about it here and there. I thought about writing, you know, granted this is going to probably be a few years out, but more of a modern day dystopian type story. I like writing fantasy. I like writing sci-fi. So I don't know anything about what the story would be about, but I would love to write like a sci-fi dystopian, maybe modern day edging into the future kind of book. I just don't know yet. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. So when you're working on these next books, is there anything you learned from writing your first book or your first couple books that you would do differently if you went back, or that you are going to do different with these next books?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the very first novel I ever wrote, that horror novel, I wrote it, I think, 6 years ago. And I really never researched anything. I never really understood anything about editing and whatnot back then. And so after writing The Heathen King, I mean, I've probably spent, the month of May and June going back through it over and over and over and over again, editing and editing and editing and rewriting parts of it. And so learning how frustrating all of that has been, how stressful and time consuming that's been. Once I get through the next book, book two, which is going to be called The Witch King. I think that I'll be more mentally prepared on how to properly be, you know, ready to publish. I won't be so anxious and eager just to throw it on the market like I was with the first one. But even my last books that I've written in the past, between the horror novel Saving Anna, and I also wrote a self-help book about drug addiction recovery called A Sober Girl's Guide to the Galaxy. Between writing those and this first one, I think I'm a lot more mentally prepared on how to go about properly publishing, self-publishing, or traditional, whatever happens, and not being so eager to get it on the market, not doing anything until it's 100% ready.
Gotcha. So to accomplish that, when you're writing, are you a big outliner? You spend a lot of time in detail the outline, or do you like to sit down and just start writing straight through, or do you write scenes? What is your procedure on how you handle writing?
I just sit down and just start writing and writing and writing. And usually after I write a chapter, I'll go back and reread over it. And, you know, obviously I'll find parts of it that I'll chop out and say, oh, okay, this just sounds like I'm rambling on and on and on and on. But no, I like to write out everything that comes to mind at one time. And then I don't, I spend a lot of my day driving around, obviously, in a truck. So that gives me a lot of time to kind of plan it out in my head, plan scenes out in my head. So that way, when I get home, I can jot down anything that I can remember. But it works good for me. It may not work well for others, but it works. It's best for me because I can spill everything out of my head at once.
Got it. When you're driving around throughout the day, do you ever dictate, like record yourself, record part of the story, and then turn that into typed up words later?
I don't. I mean, since we are DOT regulated, we're not allowed to have our personal like devices, like phones or anything that on us. So a lot of it is just remembering. And I have a terrible memory, but for some reason, when it comes to my writing, I can tend to remember a pretty good amount of what I thought up. And a lot of times it's just like trying to find the hard parts to write about, like the whole scenes, or just kind of like the background stories. Cause I can write scenes as I go, like dialogue and stuff as I go, cause it'll just pop in my head. But just all the extra and filler is, it takes a lot extra.
Right. So when you do get home, what software are you using to write?
Mostly I just use Microsoft Office, Microsoft Word. It has all the tools and like some editing and, I tend to type really quickly, so it fixes everything that I screw up. But as far as like editing, I actually discovered some new software from somebody I was speaking about on Twitter the other day called AutoCrit. And I had never heard of it before, but I ended up using it a couple weeks ago. And I was really impressed by it, about how it really triggers every little detail of your book. So I've been using that a lot lately for editing, and it basically tells you, you know, if you're overusing words, and I realized that I was overusing the word then.
Yeah.
Like 8,000. I was like, oh my gosh, I say then way too much.
Yeah, I found a few words that I overuse quite a bit.
Yeah, I was like, man, now that I know that, I've been sitting with the next book and I'm writing, and I go to write like comma then, and I'm like, nope.
Right. And that's what a lot of those software, they're good for. And I've been hearing a lot more lately people using those to get their manuscript into shape as much as possible before sending to an editor. So the editor's not spending as much time and maybe not charging as much. So these automated softwares are starting to help. And I've been trying to work with kids a bit, and I talk about those, but I caution them not to blindly use the software and then just accept all the changes, because sometimes it's really not the best for what you're writing. Do you find that you're learning from using those as much as you are getting things corrected?
Oh yeah, I'm definitely learning, because it's changing a lot of the way I think, or the way I speak. And so the first thing that popped out to me on it, the first time I used it, it says my sentences alone were way too long. And so I'd go back and reread some of the sentences, and I'm like, yeah, one sentence could be a paragraph. So it's definitely taught me a lot about just how to, you know, how properly polish up a good manuscript and make it look clean instead. Now, the only thing if I find the software that can, sometimes I'll be writing and I'll write the word if instead of is or something like that. I'm like, man, if I can find something that can fix all of those little mistakes, we'd be in heaven.
Right. Right. And I know Joanna Penn has been talking a lot about AI. So I'm wondering if we're going to be able to get some of this software that not only can find all the mistakes, but also learn your personal style and figure out sometimes what you meant to say, or suggestions, like, you know, you've said this like this before. I wonder if we're going to reach a point like that where it's really knowing us personally.
That would be incredible. And, you know, I don't doubt if there's not somebody out there that's working on it, but, and I think a lot of that would benefit from, not just from somebody's typing it onto the computer, but maybe like verbally, you know, verbally speaking it and it writing it down. So it kind of understands our tone as well as just our writing style alone. But yeah, that would be a miracle. Cause it's like every time I go back and reread through like a couple of chapters, I'll see just one little error, and it always just like one or two like words that are out of context, or I put, you know, his instead of this because I missed the T mm-hmm. or something. And it's like, oh my gosh. Like, how many times can I reread this story?
Right. And you miss things. It's always good to try and get somebody, even if it's automated sometimes.
Oh, I know. And everybody's always like, get somebody else's eyes on it because your eyes are tricking you. And I'm like, I know, but I'm so stubborn. I'm one of those people that I'm like, I want it to be perfect before anybody else sees it.
Right. Yeah. And I think sometimes that can kill us because we don't realize how good it can be as it is now. It's something I've heard a lot of people, once they've published some, they come back with, well, I should have done that sooner.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. All the time. I mean, I jumped the gun when I published the Heathen King the first time around, because I actually put it out on the market back in April. And then I went back and just for no good reason, I just went back and reread it. And I was like, whoa, 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 wait, we got to take that off sale, off sale, off sale. I was like, I cannot believe that I've missed all of these little things here and there. So I spent a couple of weeks fixing it. And it's funny because I happened to glance over something like just one chapter of it yesterday. And I found a word that was, like I said earlier, it was supposed to be, I think it was supposed to be for, but the word was if, and I was like, oh my God. I was like, I can't do it anymore.
Right. I just had a book two of a series I'm working on right now, and I've had a couple beta readers go through it, and then I had a developmental editor go through it, and she suggested some changes. So I was making those, and I discovered a huge error in the whole book where the two main characters were visiting a town, and they asked where the head guy was, and you know, they get directed to the head guy, and I'm like, wait a second. The head guy is the father of one of these kids. This kid grew up in this town. He wouldn't be asking. And nobody caught that.
Oh, no. Like, oh, man. No, so. I did the same thing. I had a lady that read through my book, and she came back and told me, she was like, I really enjoyed it. She's like, but there was just one thing that just kept hitting me through the whole story. And it's about Sebastian's father passing away. And she was like, it was a very sudden, mysterious illness. She goes, I kept waiting and kept waiting for you to elaborate on that, on what it actually was that killed him. She's like, but you never did. And I was like, I didn't. It's like, oh, so I need to go add that. Because I thought, you know, for me, it's in my head. So I'm thinking, I put that down. I know I did.
Right. And I think sometimes if you're writing over weeks and months, you forget what's in there, what's in your head, what you've changed. Mm-hmm. It sometimes escapes you and you don't realize it.
Oh no, not at all. I mean, before I sit down and start writing, I always go back to like the beginning of the last chapter I've worked on and just reread through that just so I kind of remember, okay, this is where I'm at right now.
Right. So shift gears just a little bit. What authors or books have inspired you, or what are some of your favorite authors and books?
Obviously, you know, it's going to be the same as my movie interest. I love, you know, the Game of Thrones books. I love the Lord of the Rings books. A new one I actually started reading that I'm really, really enjoying quite a bit, and I haven't read through all of them yet, is the Shadow and Bone books. And mm-hmm. they actually have a Netflix show that's coming out eventually. I don't know, because of Corona, but right. I started reading it. I've read through book one. I've read part of book two, and I'm really enjoying the story. It's also really different than a lot of the fantasy fictions. And so that's something that I'm liking a lot, but I've always loved Tolkien and J.K. Rowling. And those are always, you know, good go-to books.
Yes. And I agree with those. I also had a favorite fantasy series, Dragonlance, when I was growing up, that I loved.
Oh, yeah.
Though I've read them now in more recent years, and I'm like, this isn't quite as good as I remember.
Yeah, I know. I remember when I was in high school, we always had to do book reports, and everybody always fought over The Hobbit. So it was never available. There was only one copy in the whole library. So it was never available, and I remember a friend of mine, and I can't think of the name of the books, for the life of me, but she was like, read these, they're amazing. And I remember reading them and going, wow, this is amazing. But thinking of the story kind of in the back of my head now, I'm like, that was kind of cheesy.
Yeah, that seems to happen. All right, well, Becca, do you have any last advice for new authors to get to where you're at?
I mean, a lot of the best advice is, you know, don't rush into things. Make sure you do your research. Do all of the best amount of homework you can possibly do before you write, because I mean, you're always going to have errors. You're always going to find things that need to be revised and fixed, but I mean, the best thing to do is just to make sure that you know exactly what you're talking about and hire an editor. You do it yourself, you're just going to get frustrated.
Yep, I agree. Okay, well, it's been great talking to you. Tell us where we can find the name of your books again and where we can find you online.
Awesome. Well, the trilogy is called The Chronicles of Chaos. Book one is called The Heathen King. It is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble in paperback and an ebook. It's also available on Google Play, Apple. It's all over multiple ebook platforms. I have a website. Yeah, you can find a couple links to my books there. It's www.beccawicks.com. I'm also on Twitter, and it's Becca_Wicks if you want to find me there. And I'm on Instagram, BeccaWicks_books. You can find links to all of my published works on my website as well, as including my old books as well.
Great. Well, Becca, it was wonderful to talk to you. And I hope maybe we could catch up again on the podcast sometime, see how things are going for you.
Definitely. It was great talking to you, too. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to Discovered Wordsmiths. Come back next week and listen to another author discuss the road they've traveled, and maybe, sometime in the near future, it might be you.